Hello there, and welcome to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Week 2 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Bills and the Jets. We play the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday, First Energy Stadium, the home opener. Also, will feature the unveiling of the Jim Brown statue.
That'll be neat.
Very exciting, so certainly looking forward to that. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea for you today. On our show today, we've got a lot coming up. We are going to hear from, obviously, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. We're going to get into kind of who are these Ravens? Who are these guys? Who are we going against here? We'll go through the Ravens and the Browns, the offensive matchups, the defensive matchups. We'll talk a little special teams as well. We will hear from the kid. Apparently, the kid is unavailable for us on Friday.
Whoa.
No surprise there.
Wow.
He'll be calling us on Thursday.
Even have a ring
we'll
to
do
it.
The game picks. That should happen sometime in the 2 o'clock hour. Hugh Jackson addressing the media now. We will have that for you as soon as it is done. But one thing that I did want to talk to you about today was what Hugh Jackson said yesterday. And I know we got some of those cuts from his press conference yesterday. Is that correct? Yeah, sure. Sure it is. I better not toss to them right now.
You might not have anybody in the seat right now.
I would imagine that we do not, even though it's in the rundown in the first segment.
But it is.
Nonetheless, hey, that's what happens. Gibbs putting together a great rundown for us.
Rolling with the punches.
We're just rolling with the punches. Rolling with the homies, as they said in that great movie, Clueless. Fantastic film, by the way. By the way, before we get into any of this, I just want to say, and I know that I'm late to the game on this, but I'm going to try again, Matt Wilhelm.
Okay.
So far, I have failed every time I've recommended a TV show. I failed to get you to watch it at all, but I'm going to try again today. And the show I want you to watch, it's on Amazon Prime. You can get it on, like, all kinds of different places on demand. What? Why are you shaking your head already?
I'm not going to watch it.
Why? Just will you hear me out?
Sure.
Mr. Robot.
No.
Have you heard of that show?
No.
Ridiculous.
I like iRobot with Will Smith.
Okay. Mr. Robot. It's in its second season right now.
Okay. Definitely not. If I have to play catch up.
7 episodes through the first season. It is as good a show as maybe, and it won a ton of awards last year, and I'd heard about it from a lot of people in this building in particular, that you had to watch it, and it is unbelievable. It is the best. It doesn't have the grandeur of Game of Thrones, but it's the best show that I've seen in a long time, just in terms of the writing, the plot, everything. It's about this guy who's like a socially awkward computer hacker, and it is crazy good. You don't even care at all.
No.
You're not even paying attention to me. You're not even listening right now.
Right now, I have a limited amount of time for anything.
Anything other than Westlake Demons, by the way.
No, hold on.
Yes.
We did. We won. The poll is closed.
Oh, you did
North
win.
Olmsted at Westlake is the Cleveland
it
Browns.
Is the, game.
The PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Foundation Game of the Week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is good.
And so we'll see. We're prepared and preparing ourselves for Friday night. But no, it's this show consumes 12 to 3 and some change of my time. I drive right to the practice field. Some days my daughter has dance or cheerleading or gymnastics. I coach my son's flag football team. So Friday night lights, of course. Saturday's consumed with watching the film that we just, you know, played from Friday night with the Westlake guys. And then I have my son's flag football game, then my daughter's soccer games on Saturday, then a Buckeye game. And then of course, Sunday's consumed by everything Cleveland Browns. So I can't tell you, the only thing that I've watched in the last 14 days has been almost a few football games. That's it.
All right. I'm just saying, if you do, when you get time again,
I'm not playing catch up.
It's so much better because then you can binge watch it. The episodes are 45 minutes. I promise you, if you watch one, you'll be hooked. This isn't just me. Curb was an unbelievably popular show.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Game of Thrones, probably the most popular show on the planet.
Okay.
This is a great, great show. I don't know why you just reject everything.
How come I've never heard of it?
You haven't heard of anything, so I don't have anything to say about what you have or have not heard. You haven't heard of any. You've never heard of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I have heard of Curb.
Not when I brought it up, you hadn't.
I did.
No.
I played dumb. I had heard of it. You know what? We didn't have HBO. And so we We definitely didn't want. We definitely didn't have the opportunity to
you
watch.
You claimed you had never heard of Game of Thrones.
Correct. Right, which I hear in passing. I thought it was like an extension of Lord of the Rings. TV doesn't consume my life. I don't have time to sit around and watch TV.
Neither do I talk about TV that much.
Yes.
I have not watched. The only shows that I've watched regularly in the last 2 years are Game of Thrones.
Is every wrestling, which is on 5 days a week.
I don't watch every
Game of Thrones.
Show. I happen to
and
watch
now you're watching
my kids.
iRobot
kids
or
never
Mr.
Watch
Robot.
TV. What? Your kids don't watch TV?
They watch about 15 minutes in the morning and about 30 minutes in the evening after they get home from school by the time they go to bed.
My kids, zero in the morning because we're getting ready for school. And in the evening, we'll get like an hour of wrestling in when I'm with them.
I feel bad for your kids.
That's what they want to watch. That's what they want to watch.
I still feel bad for them.
Adam Schwartz says, come on, Wilhelm. Rule number 76, no excuses. Play like a champion. That's right. Play like a champion, Wilhelm.
What does that mean?
It's important, I think, for you to be able to go out with your peers and have things other than football to talk about. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to broaden the Matt Wilhelm horizon.
Oh, there is so much more to me than just football.
Kites. We've learned that.
We have.
Kites. Yes.
Yes.
Shoes. Sneakers.
Yes.
Tremendous hair.
Yes.
Better than expected bowling, to be perfectly honest.
I just roll it straight.
Just roll
fairly
it straight
often.
And throw it hard.
Throw it hard.
Yes, you do that as well. All right. All right, Wilhelm.
I try to get golf in.
I want you to know that one day, hopefully you will recommend something to me, and I'm going to be more receptive of it to you.
So, and is it something you have to start from the beginning?
Yeah.
You can't just start watching?
Cleveland Fanatic said, Mr. Robot's the best show on TV right now. Well done, sir. And you can, but it's in the second. It's only in the second season. 10 episodes. You'll roll through it. You'll roll through it. Like, you won't want to stop watching it.
The hard part is, but I'll have to.
So just wait till after the football stuff.
That's what I'll do.
All right, after football season, January. We'll dial up Mr. Robot for you in January. We'll revisit it at that point.
Deal.
We'll see what you have to say. I liked it. By the way, speaking of the Buckeyes, I have two pieces of Buckeye business that I must take care of.
All right.
The first is, today is Scotty Buckeye's birthday.
Okay.
So I want to wish him a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I know it'll mean a lot to him coming from you, a happy birthday as well. And by the way, he calls a 45-27 win for the good guys. Scotty Buckeye predicting a rout for the Ohio State University.
I think it's going to be close into the start of the fourth quarter, and then I think Ohio State runs away with it. Maybe not an 18-point runaway, but a double-digit victory.
Double digits. So you feel that way as well?
I do. Yeah, I just feel like the Ohio State will use the template that Houston, used, minus the kick six with better talent against the shortcomings of Oklahoma, and they're just going to mimic that same game plan with better talent and execute.
Yeah.
I do.
I think the Buckeyes are going to win as well, but I'm just excited for our guy, Scotty Buckeye. It's his birthday. He's going to get the victory on Saturday. He's going to be dancing the streets. He's trying to rent private rooms all over town because he's a very intense game watcher and he's not ready for public. And so his wife wants to go out because it's his birthday, but he cannot actually be in public. So he's trying to find a private space to watch the game.
See, I couldn't watch a game with that guy.
Oh no, he was sent out one of his Scotty Buckeye's most proud moments. He dropped a couple expletives in front of young children. I believe it was during the Ohio State Wisconsin game, the year that they went on to win the national championship. Was that the Big 12 championship
Big
game?
Big 10 championship.
Or the Big 10, I'm
yes.
sorry, Big 10 championship
yeah.
game.
Why was he squaring? It was 59-0.
Because he was talking trash to Wisconsin via his comments. He had a couple, to be fair, doesn't drink a ton, had a couple Christmas ales that night.
Oof.
And
those will hit you hard.
He was out of control.
It only takes a couple.
I had sworn off beer. I was done with beer.
What'd you find now?
I went back. Sometimes you just got to go
home. Mr. Robot Lager?
No, this is not the Mr. Robot Lager. Although Game of Thrones does have a line of beers, and they're all excellent. Neither here nor there. This is my good friends. Get you some Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Yeah.
They have a pumpkin beer, a barrel ale, pumpkin barrel ale that is a limited, obviously, time for the fall. 10%, so it is not, it's not to be trifled with.
Right.
And it is phenomenal. I'm back on that beer and that beer alone.
Okay.
So for those of you who like those pumpkin ales, go
like
out
Wilhelm
there.
Wilhelm Scream?
Yeah. Go
by Magic Hat?
There you go. There you go.
That is a pumpkin beer.
That's a pumpkin one. Stay. Pumpkin is another pumpkin beer, but the Miz, of all people, so the Miz came in for the AFL draft, our fantasy draft, a couple weeks ago, got hammered on pumpkin ale. and had probably the worst draft I've ever seen, like a functional grown-up have. And now he hates his team, and every day on the message board, she curses about how bad his team is blaming it on pumpkin ale. And my buddy Vince Conti, friend of the show, was like, so you want me to – what I'm trying to understand is here is the Intercontinental Champion of the world, a renowned tough guy, got so drunk on a – basically a flavored beer that he was unable to draft. He's like, that's where we're at right now.
That's the equivalent to the kid like getting drunk on that blue Raz Bacardi – or that Raz Bacardi.
At my
birthday poker party.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, but that's a great beer. If you guys are looking for a great beer, Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, Kentucky Bourbon Pumpkin Ale, Brian Miller says that is for real. It is for real. That's brought me back.
Is that and you can get that pretty much at any liquor store?
Yeah, I found it yesterday at the Giant Eagle Market District in Solon, I enjoy doing my shopping. It's not cheap for four of them. I think it's $14 for four beers.
Okay.
But it's 10%, and it's like...
But you only need four.
If you drank four of those, you'd be like...
Nice.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I would not recommend driving if you did that. I would not recommend it. All right, are we... Fontana, are you with us? Casey, anybody?
Casey's here.
Case, what's up, brother?
Hey, guys.
How are you doing?
You know, long day.
Have you been amped up for the opener?
Have you watched Mr. Robot?
I love Mr. Robot. One of my favorite shows.
Great show, right?
Outstanding show. Guys, I highly recommend it to anyone out there listening. Get into it. It gets a little nerdy at times, but the twist and turns.
Oh, I'm out.
It gets weird, man.
I'm out.
But it's fun.
So I'm still in the first season. I've through seven episodes, as a matter of fact. I am captivated by it. What's cool about it, so it is based on hacking. This is the last we'll talk about. It's based on hacking. But the stuff
nerdy?
That they show
nerdy?
On the computers is like the real code. Like it is like
coding.
It is legit.
Okay.
Which is, it's cool, man. It's a good show. Whatever.
It's fun.
If you want to revisit it in January, you will. From now on, I'll enjoy it. Casey will enjoy it. All the people tweeting about it, they'll all enjoy it. We'll all
enjoy it. I
made it
about 4 minutes into Curb, so I doubt I'm going to get to it in January.
I mean, that makes me, I mean, I feel like that just makes me sad.
Hey, man.
It happens. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear some from Hugh Jackson from yesterday because I think he had some very powerful quotes. Case, I know you got those cuts, and we'll get those queued up. We'll get those when we come back. Still to come, we'll break down the matchup. Tank Carter should be joining us in studio. We'll have Hugh from practice today. We've got fantasy football stardom sit-em questions. You can tweet those to @Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskTFC, and I'll get your fantasy football questions. I see plenty of them coming in already on my timeline. And then the kid will be with us, and we'll make our picks on the games a day early today to accommodate the kid's schedule, because like Matt Wilhelm, he's so busy he doesn't have time for television or any of that ballyhoo. The kid is so busy he doesn't even have time to make his regularly scheduled appearance on this show on Fridays. We'll be back with more CBD Scotty Buckeye Birthday Edition. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Don't forget tonight to tune in to News Channel 5 at 7 p.m. for the debut of the Hugh Jackson television show. I talk with Coach Jackson. Matt Wilhelm goes on the field with Christian Kirksey for the play breakdown. We've got Terrell Pryor in the player spotlight. A lot of great stuff from the head coach here at Cleveland Browns. We also go to the film for the first time in the coaches show. We go take a look at the All-22 film. Hugh Jackson breaks down the big pass play to Corey Coleman from game one. So a lot to see there. That's at 7 o'clock tonight on News Channel 5, the Hugh Jackson show. Also tonight, interestingly enough, Matt Wilhelm at 7, for those not near their televisions, is the Hugh Jackson radio show.
Yes!
And that's with myself, Ken Carmen, all along the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Well, speaking of Hugh Jackson, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns addressed the media yesterday, and we're going to have his big press conference from today, but there's some key things you want to hear about. First, he can't worry about what people have been through here in the past when it comes to this football team.
I've heard, well, I can't worry about what everybody has been through here. I'm being very, very honest. I don't. I think you guys know me. I don't worry about what everybody else has done, been through, what people shouldn't say, what they should say. I'm going to do the best job that I can do. That's all Hugh Jackson can do. And the fans might not like me for a while, but they're going to love me here pretty soon. That's okay. Eventually, they will love me. I promise you that, you know, because I do plan on winning here. And I do get it. I know with every loss, there's another dagger that just drags you down another few feet deeper. That's okay. I've been there before. And so I'm a fighter. So we're going to get back up, and we're going to keep swinging. We're going to be fine.
I love that. He's like, you might not like me now. I'm not going to pay for the sins of the people that came before me. I'm not
Why
concerned
should he?
With what came before me. Why should he is right. And he said, they're going to love me because I am going to win the big one. Oh, yes.
Speaking of the big one.
Speaking of the big one. My Mopedman. Mopedman makes his way into the studio. It's always a good time. The other clip from Hugh Jackson has said, are wins and losses the question? Are wins and losses the only thing you're judging yourself on right now?
Is wins and losses. And, you know, if I have too many losses at the end, then I'll be the first to tell you I didn't do well enough. You know, and if I have more wins, I'm going to tell you I'm okay. I don't know that it's ever going to be good enough, you know, until you win a Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not about anything else, and that's what I came here for. I didn't come here to be average. I didn't come here just to win a few games and go on about my business. I came here to help this organization win a championship. So how fast that's going to happen, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a ton of struggle before there's a ton of great times, but I'm not worried about people not being happy right now. I'm going to do the best job that I can with our staff and these players, and we're going to keep working at it. But my point is eventually they will love me because we're going to win, and we're going to win a championship here for the Cleveland Browns.
I love it. Getting back to it, that's what it's about, eventually to get there for the Cleveland Browns. And he's focused on the goal. He's focused on the prize, and I know he very much wants to put on a great show and get a victory for the home fans, for himself, for this team, for this city on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great jump start to, you know, the next 2 weeks, which are going to be on the road, to not only win your home opener, which is few and far between since you've actually come back in 1999, but also in the division. And I think that eyes will open after week one, the way you lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, the way you allowed Carson Wentz to play, you lose RG3. So you've had a lot of downs this week. And for this team to really bear down, to keep their eyes on the prize, which is winning a football game, and I think it really does reassure the young players in this locker room that they have belief in Hugh Jackson and these coaches, and they'll continue to dig in and work.
And they're going to work, and that work will begin this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. Let's take a look now at this Ravens defense here, Matt, as we like to do. No word yet on Elvis Dumervil, if he'll be available after sitting out the opener, but I think from talking to some people around Baltimore, they are hopeful that he will be able to go. And I think
he did not practice yesterday.
He didn't practice yesterday, but they're hopeful that he will be
correct
able to go on Sunday. So let's take a look at this defense that they're bringing forth here, and it's a good defense. Currently ranked number one in the NFL in total defense, number one in the NFL in pass defense, 95 yards they allowed to the Buffalo Bills in week one. Now, of course, at this time of year, that stuff doesn't really matter. It's so early that you don't really pay attention to it because it's just one of those things that, you know, it's based on one game and one game only.
Right, and I think, you know, what I look at is, you know, you talk about Terrell Suggs on one edge as a stopper. You look at what C.J. Mosley is able to do and his ability to play in the middle. And then lastly, I think Eric Weddle, you know, solidifying the safeties and kind of being the quarterback of the defense back there. And, you know, just speaking to Eric himself, you know, on the phone and via text, he's extremely comfortable in that defense. I think if you listen to, you know, John Harbaugh's comments, you know, about Eric Weddle, bought into what Baltimore was doing and almost acted as if he's been a Raven his entire career. So there's multiple levels, and I think you've talked about the matchups that we'll have at corner on Terrell Pryor and Corey Coleman as well.
So let's look at start up front with them on their defensive line. Timmy Jernigan at one defensive tackle, nose tackle Brandon Williams, defensive end Lawrence Guy. They've got a couple good rookies as well behind them. Willie Henry out of Michigan, Michael Pierce, and Brent Urban are the backups there. But you look at the front of that line, I think the straw that stirs the drink there is Timmy Jernigan. Two tackles for loss in the opener. He is a big physical performer at the line and the point of attack. And I think he and Brandon Williams form a very, very nice tandem up front. Two guys that are tough to get off the ball and two guys that the Browns are going to have to contend with. There isn't a Fletcher Cox on the front of this line.
No.
But those two are very good. And Lawrence Guy, not just a guy, he has been pretty solid as well as that third piece of that defensive line.
Yeah, and the Williams is going to be, he is the typical 3-4 nose. And I think he's emerged over the last couple of years. You mentioned Jernigan. He'll probably be the 3 technique. But Williams in the middle and our ability for Cam Irving and Greco or Cam Irving and Betonio to get a push in that double team to create some inside seams for Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell.
And Williams is that guy in the middle, one of the most dominant defensive linemen in the league last year. Top 10 in tackles amongst NFL defensive tackles and both total tackles and solo tackles. So He was right there. Williams, Jarrell Casey, who we hear a ton about from the Tennessee Titans, Kawan Short, and Ndamukong Suh were the only defensive tackles in the league last year with 30 solo tackles, 2 sacks, and 2 passes defensed in 2015. CBS Pete Prisco said he was the most underrated player in the NFL. So that is a formidable front. Again, they did a good job containing LeSean McCoy in week number one. Then you get to the guys on the edge. That's T. Sizzle, who has his career highest number of sacks against any team in the NFL against the Cleveland Browns. You have Elvis Dumervil, who's got his most sacks against any team in the NFL against the Cleveland Browns. You've got those two guys on the outside, and then you talked about him earlier, C.J. Mosley alongside Zachary Orr in the middle of this defense, and Mosley is just a tackling machine.
Yeah, he is. I just love his physicality, and he came in as a rookie, and you would imagine that he'd been playing in that Baltimore defense, you know, for 5 to 7 years. The way he fit in and, you know, just rose. I think he actually went to a Pro Bowl as a rookie.
He did.
So he's a guy that, as I said, you're going to have to get Williams blocked up front, and then on some of those doubles, you can't just hang on those doubles because you have great linebackers that can run, that can fit, that are physical. You've got to get those doubles. You got to double off to get some color on that second level to allow, as I said, Crowell and Duke Johnson to not only break the line of scrimmage but to get into those seams. And, you know, have as hard as Crow's running, you know, get 4 to 6 yards in those runs, get into some second four situations, and then the playbook really opens up for Hugh Jackson.
Mosley, 6th in the NFL in tackles since he joined the league in 2014. He's the only player in the NFL with 245 tackles, 5 sacks, and 2 interceptions since he joined the league. So he is a playmaker there. And then you get to the back end of this defense, and that's a part of it that I think is arguably the most improved. And I think, you know, we saw it in week one. They played a little bit better than I think people expected. Part of that had to do with Sharice Wright really stepping in and playing well. He had 11 tackles in the game. And, of course, Jimmy Smith opposite him did a very good job. Again, they held Sammy Watkins to less than 50 yards. In fact, not a single pass catcher on that team of the Buffalo Bills was over 50 yards receiving that game. The corners are Sharice Wright, Jimmy Smith on the outside. They've got on the coming in, Jerrod Powers is banged up right now. They've got Tavon Young has been their nickel, at least in the opening week. And then what they did is what you've seen. You played with a guy who did this, Charles Woodson, went from being a good corner to being a great corner. And I'm not
kinda
saying
like D'Angelo Hall.
I'm not saying, okay, that's maybe a better comparison. Ladarius Webb, who used to be a cornerback for the Ravens, is now their free safety,
yeah.
And they like that. They gives them
sure.
The cover guy back there.
It's kind of like what we try to do with Pierre Desir to potentially make
right.
The Browns football team.
Right, and he can come in and slide down and play the nickel if they want. They've still got Kendrick Lewis behind him, so a guy who started a lot in this league. And then Eric Weddle, I think a huge addition to this team and a guy that changes this defense because they've been looking for that kind of help on the back end, and they haven't been getting it.
Well, they had that since Ed Reed left and retired. They've had that void.
Yeah, they've had that a big-time void. And Eric Weddle, 4 tackles in the game in his season opener. 1 pass defense, did a good job. Suggs and Jernigan, we talked about, they both had sacks in that opening game. Brandon Williams did a good job. Jimmy Smith with a pass to break up as well. So it's a good defense. And you expected. The funny thing is that the Buffalo offense this year was supposed to explode under Tyrod with Tyrod Taylor and McCoy.
I roll my eyes at
that. Sammy Watkins healthy and Charles Clay. It was expected to be, I can tell you this at least, in fantasy
in year two,
circles,
they
expected
Gailey,
it to
correct?
Be a pretty good offense this year, and
yep.
They were shut down.
Yeah, I roll my eyes at it. I think Shady McCoy is post-prime, so he's not the runner that he used to. I thought when they gave $90 million to Tyrod Taylor, I went, what? And then I realized it's a similar deal to what other quarterbacks are getting or what we kind of gave RG3. It's a good chunk of money in this year and then making him prove it year and year thereafter. And then Sammy Watkins, I know we had the opportunity to draft Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, from a fantasy standpoint, might be a good player, but he's just not consistently healthy enough or consistently productive enough for me to think that offense was going to explode.
Yeah, and we talked about it, and you're right. Sammy Watkins is the straw that stirs the drink there. He is the key to that offense, his ability to stretch the defense. And he was brilliant last year, but kind of even banged up. They say he will play tonight, but he was banged up a little bit. Here's what Rex Ryan had to say about this defense after it basically shut down his Bills. It's a pretty darn good defense over there. I'm probably one of the only coaches that will give credit to the opponent because they deserve it. That defense played extremely well today. They're well coached, and they got after us. This is for the Browns. It doesn't get any easier. Now, last year, Josh McCown had an unbelievable amount of success against this defense. He lit them up. In fact, in the 2 games, 669 yards, 4 total touchdowns. But when you go back and look at it, this is a defense that now, dating back in the last 10 games, has been incredibly tough on opposing quarterbacks and has become incredibly and increasingly stingier against teams through the air.
And I believe we can have success if we block up their front five. You know, and diagnose their blitzes in that 3-4 defense. Who's coming and where they're coming from, which is what we were supposed to do in a 3-4 defense now that we're, you know, playing multiple fronts. But if we can block up T. Sizzle, Dumerville, if in fact he's healthy, Brandon Williams, as well as Jernigan, and we have time for Josh McCown, we know that he can deliver the football accurately to wide receivers that can make plays. And I think the emergence of Gary Barnage and the connection with Josh McCown is something that the Ravens are going to be very aware of and something that is going to be very welcoming to a lot of Browns fans.
By the way, Jeff Zrebic says that there's no chance for Dumerville this week. So that's coming out of Baltimore. I'd heard some people that were optimistic.
No chance.
Dumerville said he's closer, so no chance for Dumerville. So that is good, certainly, for the Browns because they got their hands full already with T. Sizzle on one side. So stepping in for him, probably Za'Darius Smith. Albert McClellan would be the other guy. Those two guys will step up. I bet it'll be Za'Darius Smith opposite T. Sizzle in this one. Browns have to block on the perimeter, and we saw kind of when you go back through and watch the tape, you know, Joe Thomas did give up that sack. Austin Pastore at times had some trouble with the speed on the outside from Brandon.
And I think that's a situation where, you know, you look at Joe Thomas, you love to have him be able to block up Connor Barwin, but when you're backed up and a defense and the defense kind of is having their way with you, it allows those wide nines or these outside pass rushers to pin their ears back and not focusing on having to stop the run, but just rush the passer. And that's a situation. That's why, you know, 2nd and 6 or less is an ideal situation for Josh McCown in this offense. And what does that mean? That means a completion for somewhere from, you know, 3 to 6 yards on first down, or a rush for 3 to 6 yards on first down to get you into that 2nd and 4, 2nd and 5 situation. You can take your shot down the field and still have a convertible third down attempt if you don't get that football down the field the way you like.
You don't want to be letting these guys.
No, you don't want to be third and seven plus. 3rd and 7 plus against a defense like this will get you blown out.
Well, and the difference last week, I really felt that the Browns had an advantage wide receiver versus corner. This week, I don't think that advantage is there with Sharice Wright and Jimmy Smith, who played very well in the season opener. That secondary in general with Webb, Weddle, Smith, and Wright is pretty good. And
it is pretty good.
Definitely improved from last week's.
I agree. And that's where Hugh Jackson, that's why it's going to be a tough week to prepare for, because the amount of success the lack of success that the Bills had does not give you a lot of optimism about what you can do against them because they were so dominant. So that's where you have to understand, you go back to, you know, last year's film and some of your concepts that you took into those games that Josh McCown played so very well in, and maybe you do some of those things, and you have to say, are the Ravens the same team they were last year? Are they conceptually running the same coverages, the same types of blitzes as well?
All right. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Special teams captain Tank Carter expected to join us here in the Dog Bowl in this first hour. We still have to hear from head coach Hugh Jackson. The kids calling up. We got to make our picks. Lots of stuff to get to here on this show. Plus, tweet your fantasy football questions to us at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura. Use the hashtag AskTFC, and we will get those read and answered on air. By the way, we just got this tweet in from our guy, the Dent Master, John Anderson, and he's a fine man, of course, and who listens to us down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And this was the tweet that came in right now. And he said, "We need pics of Mo Pedman. I don't think he really exists. Mo Pedman, make your sound." That's real, folks. You can't fake that.
No.
I'm talking. Wilhelm's talking. Mo Pedman is talking.
And we need to get a wider lens to take a picture of Mo Pedman. He is that large.
Mo Pedman. We'll be back with more CBD after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and the good friend Mo Pedman here on CBD. Today, the FanDuel Fantasy Minute brought to you by FanDuel. That's coming up later when we'll answer your fantasy questions. Get those in to us on Browns_daily at Nathan Zagura. By the way, if an auto or motorcycle accident has caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. And hopefully you're doing well, by the way. Hopefully you've recovered from that. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Those reads, sometimes I don't know how to handle those reads. I don't know. Sometimes I ask myself, what would Mo Pedman do? And I think He would wish them well also, because he's got a big heart, that guy. He's got a big everything. He's got a big heart. All right, we talked a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens on the defensive side of the ball. Let's take a look at the Ravens on the offensive side of the ball, Mateo. And obviously everything starts with Joe Flacco, 13-2 as a starter against the Cleveland Browns, but just 2-2 in his last four against the Cleveland Browns. So hopefully the Browns can keep that going. Wide receivers, they start two guys, two veterans. A veteran, Steve Smith Sr. and Mike Wallace. Wallace comes in, has a 60-plus yard touchdown in his first game with the
Ravens.
That's
kind of fluky.
That's all he is. That's what he does. He goes deep or he does nothing. That's what he tries to do. They've got behind them Kamar Aiken, who had a great year last year, Breshad Perriman, and then Devin Hester is there returning kicks for this team. On the line, right tackle from right to left, right tackle Rick Wagner, right guard Marshall Yanda, one of the best in the game. Center Jeremy Zuda, their left guard is injured. Alex Lewis got the start last week, a rookie. And left tackle Ronnie Stanley, also a rookie. So when you look at this team on the offensive side of the ball, Stanley and Lewis, both rookies on the left side, that's where Carl Nassib has been. So it's going to be a old rookie jamboree, as it were. And you'd have to imagine that's somewhere that they are going to have to try to find an advantage in this game.
It is. And I don't necessarily know it's going to be, you know, in a one-on-one matchup with Nassib on Stanley of any sort. And I'm sure he'll have that opportunity. But what you want to do is you want to give him multiple looks that he hasn't yet seen maybe throughout the preseason or his first football game last week against the Buffalo Bills, and confuse him or give them a look that they haven't seen yet, and kind of have a miscommunication along the offensive line that you use an advantage, you take advantage of that opportunity, and you get a hit on Flacco, you know, you get a sack, a situation like that, or even sometimes if you just confuse them and you get Nate Orchard, Emmanuel Ogba, Joe Schobert, and some turn protection on a back. You know, where the back's coming over, and you like your opportunity as an outside pass rusher to get one-on-one with a back.
And you certainly hope you can get one-on-one with them and then win that one-on-one matchup. So that's the line there. The receivers, Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, Kamar Aiken, kind of their possession guy. Breshad Perriman missed the practice or was limited in practice earlier
this week
with a calf injury. The guy never seems to be able to be healthy. However, I'm told he was practicing. He returned to practice today, was what was reported online, and is expected to be able to go.
I would say he'd be limited at best if he is, in fact, up on game day.
He had a big catch in the season 30, opener.
What, 35
well.
Yards?
A 35
yes.
yarder, correct. Yes. So, and then they've got at the tight end position, they've got a trio of them, all pretty good. Dennis Pitta back from that dislocated hip. I remember when he suffered that injury here. He had three catches for 39 yards. Wallace was 3 for 91 on the day with the 66-yard touchdown. Steve Smith, the highest targeted receiver, 8 of them. He had 5 catches for 19 yards. But we talked about those tight ends. You've got Dennis Pitta, Crockett Gilmore, 1 catch, 5 yards. And then Max Williams really didn't get on the field much in that season opener, the third tight end. The running backs are Justin Forsett, who ran for 121 yards in the first meeting a year ago, but he basically split time with Terrence West in this one almost evenly. It was West, 29 snaps, 12 carries for 32 yards. Forsett, 35 snaps, 10 carries for 41 yards. Forsett's the better back.
Yes.
And I don't know why he didn't see more of a role, but for now, those two guys are splitting. And the guy that they really like in Baltimore, by the second time we played them, Thursday, November the 10th, look for Kenneth Dixon, the rookie that they like very much, to maybe be the guy there.
Sure, yeah. And when I look at their playmakers, I think that their tight ends, as the season go on, are going to become the playmakers of that offense, because they have, as you mentioned, they have three good of them, Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore, as well as Dennis Pitta. The one thing that we must game plan against is Steve Smith, because he's going to get the most targets. I believe that's going to be consistent all season long. And I think almost every one of the receivers you can kind of put in a box. Steve Smith is going to be a 5 yard to 20 yard guy. He's not a guy that's going to run by you anymore. He's going to run those deep curls, those deep outs, those deep digs across the middle, being the scrappy player that he is. And I would imagine that Steve Smith's yards after the catch are going to be up there as the season goes on if he can stay healthy. So that's his role, the more possession, physical receiver, a guy that you're going to go to on third down to get you that tough catch. Now, Mike Wallace, as you said, the burner, his ability to stretch a defense. And I think our matchup for that, are we going to play left and right? Are we going to put Hayden on Steve Smith to control that possession-type receiver and have Jamar Taylor running with Mike Wallace down the football field as Flacco with the big arm wants to take those shots? Now, when it comes to Breshad Perriman, I don't believe they're going to have that big of a role for him. I know he had the big catch last week, but if he's struggling right now with some type of calf injury, he's going to be on a limited basis. So when he comes in the game, maybe in a three wide receiver set, that's going to be their opportunity to go down the football with both Mike Wallace and Breshad Perriman and probably have Steve Smith and a tight end working an underneath route combination of some type of crosser dig with, you know, a post and a nine route by the two.
And you've got to hit those crossers.
You do have to hit those crossers. That's something that, you know, all linebackers, when you watch it on film, you say you're going to light it up until he goes, you know, running right past you on game day. So it's something they need to recognize. But as the Baltimore Raven offense goes, I don't believe that Joe Flacco can go back to pass 30 plus times in a football game and beat you with these skilled players. They're going to be dedicated to running the football and playing great defense, because that's what the Baltimore Ravens do. When they've got more playmakers, they can open things up. But I think they're going to want to run the football against our defense and test our front, and then also just play great defense and limit what Josh McCown and our offense can do.
And when you think about Josh McCown on this offense against this Baltimore Ravens defense, you talked about having to handle the guys up front. Conversely, I think getting pressure on Joe Flacco will be massive for our defense, because if you can hit, what he does best is throw that deep ball.
Correct.
He has a cannon. And 2 years ago in that Week 17 game when Connor Shaw started, it was deep balls to Torrey Smith that were ultimately the undoing of our defense. So you've got to get to him and get him early,
sure.
Knock him off. That's how they got an interception a couple years ago. Kruger hit him. Deshaun Gibson picked it off here in that Week 2 game. Interesting stat on Joe Flacco as I was preparing for the game and went through this. Joe Flacco has not passed for 250 yards in Cleveland since the 2009 season. He has not thrown for even 200 yards with multiple touchdowns at Cleveland since Week 8 of that same year. That's the 2009
season. And now they have won those football games. Well, how have they won those football games? Playing great defense and running the football and controlling the game. I think that's the scrappy, play-like-a-Raven mentality that John Harbaugh has, as well as being great on special teams. The one other key factor, and it's a point that you kind of brought up in regards to pressuring Joe Flacco, this is a guy coming off basically an entirely new knee. And sometimes those knee injuries, and I know he's healthy, and he went out and played in the preseason as well as Week 1, and he came out, you know, completely healthy. But getting bodies around, in and around a quarterback or an injury, have some of these guys sometimes get a little fluky. You know, so if we can get bodies around him, knock him around, I'm not saying go low, go at his knees. That just happens, you know, in a football game when there's bodies around the quarterback. But you'd be surprised how tentative somebody can be after, you know, 9 months of rehab. You finally get healthy and you start to play a little tentative. So I would imagine multiple bodies in and around, knocking Flacco around, getting physical with the big guy is going to have him play a little bit more tentative in the pocket.
It's not like they lit up the scoreboard.
No.
Against
13
the Buffalo
points.
Bills. 13 points.
One on a big play to Mike Wallace that very well could have been, I think, tackled for. It was kind of a bang-bang play that he just ended up like getting out of
a stiff arm.
He did, right. But if he gets tackled there, it's a 25-yard play, and the Ravens are having to fight their way to continue that drive to convert points.
Yeah, they had their issues. They were 6 of 15 on third down in the game, 0 for 1 on fourth down. So in conversions, just 6 of 16. And if the Browns can hold them to that kind of a ratio, that will certainly go a long way for this Cleveland Browns football team getting the job done. They went to just 4.7 yards per play as well, but they held the Bills to 3.3 yards per play in that one. The Browns going to need to do better than that on offense. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tank Carter, the Browns special teams captain, will be with us here in studio right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Very happy to be joined by Tank Carter, who is with us here in the Dog Bowl. Tank, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're happy to have you here. First of all, congratulations on being named captain this year. What did that mean to you?
Oh, it meant a lot. You know, this is a prideful special teams group, you know, top 10 every year. So being the captain of that, it's a lot of, you know, I take a lot of honor in it.
Yeah, and it's a prestigious thing, something voted on that's by your teammates. First time that the Browns have had season-long captains since 2013. And when you look around in that special teams room, though, you are kind of like, we like to use the word a veteran. You're the veteran of that room. What's that been like, kind of working with all these new guys and being the leader now?
Yeah, you know, it's good. You know, there's a, like you said, there's a lot of young guys. I mean, it's really I'm kind of one of the only guys returning. We got Eddie went on, moved on, and a lot of guys, they moved on, and there's a lot of young guys, you know, Dominique, Alexander, Schobert, and, you know, it's, I'm, like you said, kind of the vet, but, you know, it's a lot of those guys are coming along real well, and, you know, I guess, I don't know, it feels weird to be the old guy, but, you know, that's how it is.
That is, you're absolutely the old guy, and it's got to feel good, and I think you're obviously in a very comfortable place simply with the retention of Chris Tabor as special teams coach, and then Ray Horton coming back as a defense coordinator. I know you and I, you know, hang out, you know, outside of Berea, and you just said, you know, Ray's, you loved Ray's system, and you picked right up where you left off, and you had a very impressive preseason. Just talk about, you know, the continuity of having Coach Tabor and obviously Ray Horton coming back now.
You know, it's having, you know, Ray, his, my second year, you know, I kind of learned his defense, and I've even said, you know, you give these guys in this defense a year or two to kind of get it under their belt, it's going to be a huge difference. But, you know, just going into it my second year and knowing the defense and knowing the checks and things like that, it's awesome, and especially on special teams. You know, I've been in it for 5 years, so I know the scheme really well. I can inside and out, and you get everybody on the same page. It's going to be something serious.
How long does it take to get everybody on the same page? Because you mentioned some of the guys that were stalwarts. You know, Johnson Batamosi is gone, Marlon Moore, who was here, a lot of the linebackers, Craig Robertson, a lot of the guys that were key special teams guys that moved on. How long does it take to get this new group to really be able to gel?
You know, I think everybody kind of progresses at their own pace, you know, but I feel like, I mean, like it, for each team it's different, and everybody kind of progresses at the same pace, but at their own pace. But I think it just takes time, you know. You got to get games under their belt, guys get comfortable, get confidence, and I think that's when it'll start gelling, as you say.
Who are some of the guys that have kind of caught your eye as, all right, this guy's got potential special team star written on him?
I think there's a few guys, but, you know, Alexander, you know, being a linebacker too, I got to give my boy some love. But, you know, and he, you don't really have to. He's showed it on the field. He's fast, he's aggressive, he's physical, and he makes plays.
Inside that inside linebacker room, you know, a lot of turnover, and basically just you and Christian Kirksey return. You've got Tamara Davis, a veteran who's coming in, also a captain of this team. So two of the five captains are in your room. Mm-hmm. And then two rookies, and Dominique Alexander and Scooby Wright. What's that room like?
Oh, it's fun, dude. We're always cutting up. And Johnny Holland, our position coach, he keeps it light. So it's awesome. Especially, you know, it's a changeup from having coaches that haven't played in the league to having a coach that has played in the league, been in those meeting rooms, been in the locker room, and kind of knows what it's like. So, you know, that's a change up for sure.
And how much of a difference does that make?
Oh, big difference for sure. Especially coaching, you know, I mean, not to say that coaches in the past aren't good coaches, but it brings a whole another level of coaching and just knowing the player's point of view, you know, having a coach that's played before.
For sure.
It changes big time.
It really does. And the one other thing I wanted to ask you about, just being a special team standout, you know, I was that same way, but then also the amount of time and attention you put into, you know, defense, because for you specifically, you're probably the first guy, you know, off the bench. If something were to happen to Mario Davis and or Christian Kirksey, the way you played in the preseason, just the mentality of being able to be a beast on special teams, but also, you know, getting your mental reps as well as some of your reps out of practice to be one play away if Kirksey were to get banged up or something, that you'd have to come in and play that role and be ready, you know, at any time.
You know, it's not that hard to balance it, I guess, you know, especially being in the defense for a couple of years. But I'd say, you know, dedicating your focus, I guess, more than anything, not so much the scheme, but it's focusing on, you know, because, I mean, a couple of plays last week I got in the game, so you got to try to kind of focus when to really focus on defense, when to focus on special teams. But, you know, it's not really that hard, you know.
Is it difficult to prepare not getting defensive reps all week?
No, I take a lot of mental reps, you know, and I think being in the scheme a couple of years, it helps. But, you know, it does help on as far as knowing their scheme, the offensive
right.
scheme, as knowing, you know, seeing things, seeing alignment, seeing depths, things like that. But, you know, that's what it is. You gotta run with it. You don't get a lot of reps during practice, so you got to be ready for the game time. That's just how it is for a backup.
What is probably your favorite play or moment in your Browns career?
Man. Probably a blocked punt against Tennessee.
That's what came to my mind.
Yeah.
That spurred on the greatest road comeback in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, definitely.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah. What would be more exciting to you, a blocked punt that you recover for a touchdown or a pick six or a sack fumble?
Oh, a pick six.
Man. Pick six. That's for sure.
That's top of the line for a defensive guy is a pick six. It changes momentum. Obviously puts points on the board. Offense doesn't have to score a point. They sitting on the bench scoring points. So, you know, it's definitely probably top of the line biggest play is pick six.
Or I got to say the trifecta, the sack, force, fumble, scoop and score.
Scoop and score, yeah.
Yes.
That's would you have a dance? Is there a Tank Carter dance?
Oh, man, I don't know. I remember a couple years ago it was some friends back home was like, if you ever scored, what would it be? I don't know. I have no clue. It'd probably – I don't know.
Speaking of dancing, we were joined multiple times last week, this week for the Cleveland Browns Radiothon. Christian Kirksey, your teammate, your position mate in your room, was the self-proclaimed best dancer on the team. So
I probably have to second that. He's a pretty good dancer.
Okay. He's a self-proclaimed. Multiple people have come out and said that, yes, he's one of the best dancers. Who else would you consider – or would meet Christian Kirksey in the finals of a bracket in a dance-off in the locker room?
I don't know, man. I'd probably say myself.
Really?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So we got – who else did we hear? Don Jones, we heard.
You doing the boot scoop boogie or something?
Don Jones can dance. No. Me and Kruger were probably second and third.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Krugs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what does it mean for you to get back out in front of the home fans this Sunday, the home opener against the Ravens division game, home opener? Yeah, how big is this one on Sunday for you guys?
Oh, it's huge, man. It counts as two. Coach said it, you know, in the team meeting the other day, it counts as two. It's a division game, counts for the division, and it's obviously for the season. But, you know, it's a big game, and anytime you play the Ravens, it's going to be a huge special teams battle. There's good – they got guys, we got guys, and it's always a battle, and even offense and defense as well. So it's a big game.
How's the locker room kind of handle the fact that for the second year in a row, the guy that you thought was going to be your starting quarterback got knocked out in week one?
Oh, you know, it's part of it. It's the NFL. You guys go down, next guy's got to step up, and Josh, he's had reps as starters, obviously, for the team. So I think we'll be good.
Last one for me is just the you've now been here with, as you mentioned, you were here with Coach Shurmur, you were here with Coach Pettine, and now you've got Hugh Jackson as your third head coach over 5 years. Just talk about the overall culture change and just Hugh as a head coach and what he brings each and every day.
I mean, Hugh, you know, he makes you want to play for him. You know, he gets you motivated, gets you pumped up. And, you know, he's not a guy that's going to sit there and beat around the bush and blow smoke up your butt. But, you know, he definitely will get right to the point and he gets you motivated to want to play for him.
Tank, we certainly appreciate the time. Excited to see you get out there and do your thing. Special teams, maybe at linebacker against the Ravens on Sunday. And, again, congratulations on being voted a captain. Everybody we've talked to about that says that's the ultimate to be, you know, have the respect of your peers. And congratulations on earning that here with the Browns. Well-deserved.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. That'll do it for hour number one. When we come back, we'll kick things off with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, right here on CBD.